Ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book? Are you simply not sure where to start? Have you been searching down the internet rabbit hole for a self-publishing resource worth your time? Your search ends here, my friend. Let's walk the publishing path together and bring your book to life with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I'm here to coach thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to successfully self-publish your book while avoiding common pitfalls. I'm Lana Liquidy-Smargis, chief ghostwriter, editor, and founder of Unicorn Publishing Company, and have stood by the sides of many professionals just like you to walk them through the publishing process and successfully launching their book. Every industry pioneer faces the same daunting challenges: how to convert your hard-earned wisdom into a book that builds legacy with a voice that reflects your personal and professional brand. Join me each week to acquire practical wisdom and proven strategies and find out what the traditional publishing companies simply don't want you to know. Let's work together to tell your story with a book. This is more than just a podcast. It's your roadmap to becoming a published author. Get ready to write your blueprint for book publishing success with the Publishing for Professionals podcast.
Liquidy, we're back again for another episode of Today. I'm going to have an awesome guest on my show. And the thing you're going to love about this guest is if you are a writer or an author, or you're even thinking about creating and publishing an online course, even if you're not a writer or an author, you definitely want to check out this interview, because my guest today drops some really good gems on the basics of online course creation and how anybody can do it. And you definitely want to get his book. It is called Monetize Your Book with an Online Course. But even if you don't have a book, you can still use his book to make your online course. So let's jump in to the interview today with Lucas Marino, and let's find out what it takes to make an online course. Hey, my friends, this is Lynn Aliquity. So if you have just jumped in, and today I have a fabulous guest who I'm super excited to have on because he's the only person I know who specializes in this niche. So my guest today is Dr. Lucas Marino. He is a serial entrepreneur in training businesses and is the founder of Marino Training, East Partnership, and co-founder of the Empire Builders Masterclass. If that's not enough, what he does is he helps entrepreneurs and authors launch and sustain online training products, aka online courses. He's a Thinkific expert, host of the Conversations with Course Creators podcast, and author of Monetize Your Book with a Course, which we're definitely going to be talking about today. He's a military engineer by experience. He spent 21 years as a naval engineer and training manager in the United States Coast Guard. If you get to know him, you need to have him tell you your story. It's amazing. Lucas is passionate about developing others and collaborating with fellow entrepreneurs. So without further ado, my guest today is Dr. Lucas Marino.
Hey, Lynn, thank you so much for having me. And I'm so excited to be here because I've been, you know, you and I have been trying to get together to do a podcast for a while. And I think it's just because we know how much fun it's going to be. And I hope everyone out there enjoys this episode. If you don't, email me and tell me where I could have done better.
Oh, yeah. No, I know they're going to enjoy this. So let's start at the beginning. So how did you get into writing? Let's start there before we jump into your book, because I want to know, and how did you decide to get into writing and then become an author?
Probably like a lot of people on the listening to this, I've been a writer my whole life. I just haven't been an author my whole life. So I've been a reader, writer since I was a little kid. I was perfectly content sitting in a corner reading my book. That's probably not going to equate to a career in writing for a lot of people. And I loved to write. And I thought that it was probably a far-fetched idea to make a living doing it when I was younger, because I grew up in a house that was mostly like really hard work and blue collar type work. And we really valued labor. And it was like, well, you got to get out there. Like, you can do the writing, but that'll be like a second tier thing. So, you know, that's probably one of the reasons why I went and did all the things I did before I published my first book. Yeah, in between those was about a 22 year span or so. And I did a lot of writing, academic paper publishing, a lot of policy writing in the service, in the military, that kind of thing. And on the side, I would write my own stuff. I'm, you know, typical like addicted writer. I've got like 3 manuscripts just chilling in my drafts folder at all time. And it took me getting to know Honoré Corder and working with her and learning from her to really push me to publish when I did. So that's kind of how I got to the point of publishing a book. I
came from a very similar background. Both my parents were blue collar, and they were like, you need to work hard to make more money. It's like, I don't want to work that hard. I want to be smart.
Well, I did. I went and worked that hard. And then I thought, wow, I can't do this forever. Or at least I don't want to do this forever. And it was just like, I worked really hard to get to a point where I could have the luxury of relaxing a little bit more in my expectations of myself and saying, look, I can give this a shot.
Yeah, I think our parents' generation were definitely more like to your nose to the grindstone until you're 65. And that's just so exhausting, because then by the time you're 65, you don't have the energy to do all the things you want to do. And so it's like, Yeah, take it slower. Like my parents were definitely like, don't be the starving artist, blah, blah, blah. And they passed away 15 years ago. But like, if they knew I was writing for a living, they would probably be freaking out just a little bit, but that's okay. So when did you decide to start doing online courses for, and you do them specifically for authors?
I've got, as you said in the bio, I've got three different training companies. Two of them are focused on entrepreneurs and writers, and mostly writers that are entrepreneurs. The other platform is for engineers. I had a training background throughout my entire military work, because like when you join the service, they make you specialize in something, but immediately they tell you you have to also generalize. So they say, all right, you need to become a specialist. Okay, I'm going to be a specialist in engineering. Okay, great. Now that you've got that mastered, where else am I going to send you? And you're like, what? Like, you have to go to a shore. You can't stay at sea forever. So we're going to send you to a shore command, which is mostly administrative type jobs. And I thought, I've always loved teaching, reading, writing. So I'll go do instruction. And that got me into the training world. And so for the rest of my career, I bounced back and forth between engineering and training. And when I retired from the service, I thought, well, I really want to teach, but I want to do it as an entrepreneur. I want to be able to help people. And so as I started to work more in helping entrepreneurs launch training platforms, I realized almost every one of the people I was attracting was an author. I was like, they're nonfiction authors. And I would say, do you have a book? And they'd say, yeah. I'd say, all right, give me your book. And I'd look at it and say, this is the topic you're going to build your course on, correct? And they'd say, yep, that's it. And I'd say, okay, give me your book. I need to get familiar with your world of work and your topic and everything. And then I would build their course foundation off the tenets of their book and what their business plans were. And then I turned around and realized that I was one of the only people doing that, like in that space for those people. And I think part of it was they wanted to work with somebody that was a business owner, another entrepreneur that was finding some success in their business. They wanted to work with a writer, and they also wanted to work with someone that was an expert in training. So I kind of had like this little trifecta thing going without planning it necessarily that way. And that's where I started to shift more toward delivering to the people that really deserve and need that kind of help. And for me, that was fellow nonfiction authors.
That's really cool that you kind of just like not really fell into the niche, but like organically ended up in that niche. At what point when you were doing these online courses for entrepreneurs and specifically writers and authors, did you decide you wanted to write a book and share your expertise in a book format?
So my editor, Karen Hunsinger, who I think you may know.
Oh, yes, I know Karen.
Yeah, Karen's just fantastic, right? So Karen was helping me edit an engineering text that I was going to publish this book on this certain aspect of life cycle and sustainment engineering. And part 70% through the initial draft, I stopped and said, I don't think I'm writing the right book for the right people at the right time. This is something I'd had, a project I'd had in the works for my engineering training company for years. And I thought, well, I'll just take that work and publish it first to get the experience of publishing under my belt. But then I realized, well, this isn't really who I'm serving on a day-to-day basis. So I told Karen, I said, hey, don't kill me, because I know we've been working really hard on this, but I think I need to write this other book that you and I have talked about several times that I have outlined and draft, you know, the drafted outline is already created. And she goes, oh my God, I'm so happy you brought that up. You know, yes, like this is the right thing to do. So we immediately pivoted and I said, all right, I need to finish this idea I had. And that was monetize your book with a course, this little guy. So I told her, I said, I've got this ready to rock. I'll hand you the draft in 30 days. And she was like, oh, okay. And that was like kind of it. Like I'd already had the book outlined, dreamt up, thinking about it all the time. And I just needed to kind of make a decision to put that one first and delay the, well, this has been on the backlog longer kind of thinking and go with how am I really going to serve people right now? Which is funny because as a business owner, that is what you do and think about every day. If you're doing things the right way, is you're saying, how can I serve my clients today? And I realized, what am I doing? I'm definitely going to publish this book first. So I drafted it and then turned it over to Karen and said, what do you think? And she's like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what you should have been doing the whole time. So it's been a passion project from the beginning. And so that made finishing the book and publishing it and everything much, much more enjoyable because it wasn't an obligation. It was something I was like really wanting to do. And now I'm like throwing it everywhere because I want to help people. I mean, that's the whole point of writing. I didn't write the book to try and get rich off of a book. That would be crazy. I wanted to help as many people as I could. We spared no expense on detail in the book for that reason.
Well, we're going to take a little break right here. When we come back, I'm going to ask Lucas more about his book and more about online monetizing courses.
Hey friends and future authors, I know what it's like to sit alone at your desk and to stare at your manuscript and wondering if anybody else out there feels the same as you do. My friend, that is why I created the Publishing for Professionals community, a sanctuary for leaders like you who are crafting books to elevate your thought leadership. Imagine having a professional ecosystem where you can find other professionals who truly understand your struggles and celebrate your victories. A circle which offers genuine support and a place where fellow thought leaders gather. The road to authorship is better traveled together. Come and join an alliance who speaks your language, who recognizes that your book isn't simply just a page with words. It's the process of creating your forever legacy. Join the Publishing for Professionals circle at www.writeforyou.me and click on community. Use the sign-up form and register today to gain confidence alongside others who now share your journey towards authorship.
We're back with the second half, and I have Dr. Lucas Moreno here, who is the author of the book, Monetize Your Book with a Course. So the first half of the episode, we chatted with Lucas a little bit about his background and how he got into writing online course making, online courses specifically for authors and writers, writing his first book. Lucas, let's chat more about, why does somebody want to monetize your book with a course? So I know, and you know, sometimes making a book isn't the most profitable thing, and you do need to do a ton of marketing to get your book out there. What is the advantage for someone who's listening, another writer, to monetize your book with a course?
So one of the reasons I published this book when I did, and one of the reasons I worked with the people I worked with in the creation of the book, Honoré Corder, Karen Hunsinger, like all these great minds in this space, is that I wanted to really kind of get home the point of, like, why does someone who wrote a book need this? Not necessarily why do they want this, but why do they need this? And Honoré and I had had many discussions and collaborations on the value of courses to authors, because the book has an amazing opportunity to reach so many people. And to me, books are so much more accessible because of their price point and the many different ways they can be delivered, right? You've got ebook, you've got several different types of print, and they're at a price that's very easy to reach. So that's great power in the book. If you decide that you want to create a product line that supports your business, then revenue becomes a pretty significant part of that equation. And one of the ways you can kind of take what you've put into the book and make more money with it is by creating more products off of that knowledge, right? So the book absolutely cannot be replaced for what it is. But when you think about products that you could put a higher price point on that maybe serve an audience in a different way, give you the ability to have a little bit more flexibility, because, like, once I wrote this book and printed it, it's like, this is this book now, right? But I have courses that I can update on the daily, and I can make changes to very easily, and I don't have to necessarily go to Amazon and upload all new files and, like, revisions and all the crazy stuff. So it's a very flexible product. It also has the ability to earn you more money per sale than maybe a book. That can just really empower you and help you build some financial stability around your core topic. You know, as authors, like, we write a book not just to write a book. We want to share what's in the book with people to their benefit. And so if I can do that in a greater way and serve my clients in a different way and also serve my business, why not, right? So that was kind of the thing. It's like, take all that expertise you put in that book and put it into a course and make it a different experience. Maybe take things to the next level. Obviously, you're working with a different price point. This is just another product that you can build around that topic in your business.
A question I have for you is, one of my clients came to me and he's like, oh, I have this online course and I want to turn it into a book. And he literally mostly copied and pasted everything. And it's like, here's the book. That's like making a blog book, and you can't just copy and paste it. So going in the reverse, if you have a book and you want to take it into an online course, what are the considerations you need to make when you're making that transition so that it's not just a copy and paste from your book to your online course?
Right now, great question. It's a simple process, but it's not as simple as copy and paste. I love that you bring this up, because I think a lot of people, whether they're moving from taking a course and converting it to a book, or taking a book and converting it to a course, they feel the very natural desire to start with the product they already have. And by the way, that is the right thing to do. Start with it, but that's not the end, right? So you have to think that every product serves a different person. For the book, your client is your reader. For a course, your client is your learner. And so the learner may have different needs than your reader does. They may even be the same person, but they may have different needs, expectations from that product than they had with the other product. So for example, if you have a book that teaches a certain process or a certain framework or an approach to some solving some problem. You can address that in different detail in a course than you can in a book. You've got video, you've got animations, you have surveys, you have quizzes, you have all these different things that you can build into a course. So the moment you take that same problem, right, helping the learner solve a certain problem, and you try to apply your solution to it, you have all these different ways to do that. And so it changes the way you address solving the problem. You still have to educate them and make them knowledgeable, but you're doing it in a different way. You have to go through what I call the 5 points foundations to, or 5 points to building a course foundation. And this helps save you some trouble. You're going to take the outline from your book and you're going to take these 5 points and you're going to say, all right, here's my outline. I know what roughly I have the topics I have to cover in this course or I want to cover. Who's the ideal learner? And you might be going, well, I already kind of solved that problem when I identified my reader, but I'm going to say, are you sure? It's not changed, or it's not a different aspect of that population. You might be niching down a little bit more. You might be generalizing a little bit more. You have to have that conversation. And then the next thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to identify which problems specifically you're going to address in the course. Okay, which problem are you going to help that person solve? That's point two. And then point three is, what's the solution that you're offering them? And so does that solution work well in a course environment? I mean, it may work great in a book, might be a little less or more effective in a course. You have to answer that. By the way, if all these answers are yes, and like, that's a good thing, right? So don't feel like you're wasting your time. You're doing what you need to do to verify and validate that you're doing the right thing by building a course. The next thing you want to do is say, well, okay, well, what does the outcome look like? If my learner takes my solution and applies it to their problem through this course, specifically through this course, what type of outcomes can they expect? What does that mean for them? You know, buyers don't buy courses, they buy outcomes. They're buying an outcome, that's the way you view it or not. So I try to get people to think about that from the beginning. And the last thing I would say is, what are the steps they need to take to achieve that outcome? And once they've done that, once they've kind of gone through those points, they have a good justification whether they should move forward to the course or not. And it's like, okay, well, you've got me thinking about who I'm going to educate through a course. You've got me thinking about how I'm going to help them address this problem and what their outcomes should be and the steps that they need to take to reach that outcome. These are the learning objectives now for the course. And you can step back at that point and go, all right, if I take my book's outline and I take those points and I look at them together, what do I need to change for my outline? Do I need all of this? Do I need more than this? Because with courses, it's a little bit more focused on the meeting objectives than say a book is. I like to use the example of like a history. You can get a book on something and it's no one's going to like bat an eye if you give them a chapter on the history of that topic, even if you put it at the back. But in a course, I don't want to open your course and like get a history lesson if it really doesn't help me solve my problem. Or you might make that additional stuff. What do I actually need to know to achieve this thing? Close a performance gap, learn new knowledge that helps me with new skills. You know, I'm trying to achieve something through your course. I'm paying more money and I'm not going to have a great, people don't just say, oh, I love buying courses just to sit down on a sunny day and watch a course. It's not like, you know, books a little different. So you got to be really, we're going to get to the point. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. Nothing more, nothing less. So I look at my outline for my book and say, is that here? Is the nothing less everything they need to know here? And then I can look at my course and say, all right, now I'll use this outline and I'm going to get started. That's a huge step. Just get started, right? It's going to change and that's normal, but just get started. So you've got the foundation, got your outline, you get to work. And as you start going through this, you realize there's a lot of like creative freedom with building a course that I didn't necessarily have with writing the book. I can do videos, I can do animations, I can do fun games, quizzes, whatever, audio only. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. So you get to have fun, like have fun with it.
I love your point about the use cases for books and courses, because I taught coding and science for over a decade in the classroom to middle school kids. And a lot of teachers were like, I don't know how to teach this. I'm like, you have to use what's called backward design, right? Like, just like you said. So you have to know the use case, but then you take your learning objectives and be like, okay, these are our 3 or 4 learning objectives. And then you build your whole course based on your learning objectives way. Because if you don't start with your learning objectives, then you're going to be kind of willy-nilly with your course and not very focused. And then people are going to be really disappointed because they're not going to be like, they're like, what am I learning here? Like, I don't understand. So you really have to use, like you said, the backward design sequence of starting with your learning goals in mind and then building the course, which is so super important, which I tell people all the time, even when they're like writing books, like you need to know what your book is about and what your byline is going to be before you write it. Because if you don't know what it's about or what you're teaching somebody in your book, if it's a nonfiction book, then your book's not going to be any good because it's not going to be focused on your topic. So that's super, super important.
Absolutely.
Another question I have for you, and I just took some notes in my notebook here. Once people come to me for ghostwriting, they're always, how many words do I have to have for my book? Like there's always this misconception of people have to have like this magic number of words. So like, what are some misconceptions of people, like a common misconception someone has when they're going to make an online course?
Oh man, this is a fun one. Let's see. Let's start with something obvious. People feel like they can't tackle the technical aspects. They're like, I'm not good with video, or I don't know where to start with like audio recording or whatever. And it's like, guys, this is very possible for you today. So I think that sometimes people just overestimate the challenge of actually creating the content. And once they get out of their own way and get rolling, they realize how fast it is and how kind of fun it is, right? So, I mean, I've worked with a lot of course creators and they'll ask me right in the very beginning, like, all right, what's going to take the longest? And I'm like, the thing that takes the longest is you creating the videos, like you creating the content. That is the critical path in your project. Like I can literally build your learning management system out, populate everything, build your landing page, everything light years faster than it's going to take for you to create the content. So I think one of the big misconceptions is that they're so comfortable with the topic and they're so comfortable with the content that they don't consider that the critical path. They consider all the other things, the activities of recording, and you don't need to spend a fortune. You do not need to spend a fortune. A couple of the things I put in this book were like solutions for video and audio software, cameras, microphones, everything under $200.
Yep. That's your chapter 5 course creator technology.
Yeah. Trying to make it so people can understand like, oh, look, I don't need a $5,000 camera and I don't need to spend $10,000 creating a course before I talk about it. I even have a whole section in there about marketing your course that's about pre-selling a course. I call it a pre-development launch on purpose because you can sell it before you develop it. You can actually have people pay you to develop your course, which is awesome. So there's a few, and there's one other one I think is worth noting, and that is they don't feel people are going to want it. They're like, is anyone even going to want this? It's for me. I'm like, I'm here to tell you that the thing you're considering your weak point is your strength. The reason I'm buying it from you is because I want it from you. You're not the only one that teaches this thing in the world, but I want it from you. So if you don't create it, I can't have that. So I can't give you money for your product and I can't get more of you. And that's really what, you know, we're trying to do here is create a book, create a course so we can sell more and help more around this topic that you're an expert in. If you don't create the course, like I'm never going to be able to do that with you. And yeah, I might end up having to go to someone else. So don't think that, you know, well, no one's going to want a course from me. Yeah, they probably are. And if you want to test that, you can do the pre-development launch to figure that out.
Yeah, that actually leads me to my next question. But I wanted to say too, that people talking themselves out of things is like the number one reason people don't do things. I get ghostwriting clients like that. I will literally write their entire book and they won't publish it because they're too scared. They're like, no one's going to want to read this. No, clearly somebody is going to want to read it. It's very rare that someone puts a book out and nobody reads it. At least your friends and family read it. But like, most people I'm writing books for are like, they're really good information. I'm like, I know people are going to read this, but people are so scared to put their work out there. And if they can get over that fear, they can create lots of amazing things.
Yeah. Why don't you let your client figure that out for you? Let them tell you if they're going to buy it or not, right? Like, it's like you're making up their mind for them if you take away any options, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And getting back to you have that chapter on chapter 4. So you talk about editing and beta testing, which goes back to what you just said about letting your clients help you build your course, which is an excellent idea. What do people need to know? Like, what are the basics people need to know about beta tests, why they want to do it, and why you need to do it to make a successful online course?
Okay. Yeah. Great question, because it can happen in a pre-development sale or not, right? So there's a reason why I separated this specifically from just talking about a pre-sale. You don't have to do a pre-sale to do a beta. You can develop a whole course, a beautiful, full, complete thing, and then do a beta test on it. Or you can develop like 2 or 3 chapters and start a beta test where you drip more content to them after they get started. The benefit of the beta is that you get to test this thing in a controlled environment with your ideal client. There's a very important reason I said your ideal client. Like, don't fill your beta group with all your best friends, okay? Because they might not be your ideal learner, and you really need to test it with the people that are going to buy it. The benefit of the beta is that you're getting real timely feedback in exchange for some savings. I usually offer my beta at like 50% of my final course price because we're going to exchange some things that I'm not necessarily going to control and exchange with my future learners. Every week, I'm going to be gathering lessons learned from you. Hey, what did you think about this week's lessons? What could I have done better? Did you find anything that was missing? Too much. And you want to use that beta group to make your product better for the people that are going to be exposed to it once it goes live to the public. Big fan of beta testing, if only to improve the quality of the experience for the learners. You can do the drip style pre-development launch as a beta to get paid to do the development, right? So if you're not confident in building the whole course out, then doing a beta, do the beta as part of a pre-development launch where you develop some of the curriculum, sell the course, and then move forward with developing the rest of the curriculum while these people are experiencing what you have built.
Yeah, I love that suggestion because as a teacher, I remember making lesson plans and I would teach whatever. And then kids would ask me questions. I'm like, oh, I never thought of that, like to put that in the lesson. And so that's mm-hmm. such a great recommendation to do the beta testing because then your final product is going to be so much more valuable. One last question I have for you is somebody might be listening to it and think like, Lucas, there's so many online courses out there and there's so many people selling their online course for like $9 each. How am I going to make an online course that A, I'm going to sell for like $100 or more, and B, is going to differentiate me from all the millions of other online courses out there?
The biggest part of it is you. You know, people don't like to hear that. Again, you are the differentiator, and what you bring to the table is a differentiator. So I think the more that you build the content around the learner's experience and you keep yourself present in that experience, the better off the course is going to be for them. You want to make sure that you don't remove yourself from the equation, right? No one wants this generic AI. There's some really amazing software out there where you can like literally build entire like presentations with some AI talking and it's got a face, you know, it's like a person on screen. A lot of companies are using this to reduce the cost of their training development for their staffs. And instead of paying someone to video, you know, to record video of themselves doing this, they're just going out and getting AI software to do that. Well, that might work in a corporate like internal training where you can't get out of it.
Where you're not allowed to like leave.
Mandatory training. Yeah, go do your cybersecurity training, right? But that's not going to work when you're free selling products to people. They want to experience you as part of the equation. Also, you need to make it something where the value is undeniable. Part of the reason why I asked you in the very beginning about developing your course foundation, those points, what's the value of the outcome? That is a thing that's going to resonate throughout the creation. You can't overwhelm them with too much information. You definitely don't want to keep anything from them that they need to achieve whatever outcomes you're helping them achieve. You need to make sure that you understand the value of this outcome for the learner and that you can show them that that value is inherent in the course. If they are just better suited to learning in a certain way, that's the way you develop the course. If they would find more value in it being like a hybrid instead of a fully online, maybe you develop both and you offer one to one group of people and one to another, and you use them interchangeably, which you can do. There's so much you can do, but the goal is to focus on providing the learner with the experience that they value. It's almost like we have to kind of inject ourselves into that, into the presentation, but we have to remove ourselves from blocking that experience from happening by saying, my learners need something quick and easy. Then giving them a 4-day course is not quick and easy. So I need to focus on being something. So when I developed East Partnership, one of the things we identified about our engineering clients who are all learners in the engineering space, they don't have a lot of time. And their employers wanted to give them some training, short bite-sized chunks or outside of the work time. And so we were like, all right, we need to have pretty succinct courses. We'll just have more courses in a series instead of one big course. And we also want to make every single lesson bite-sized, less than 20 minutes. And we want it to be affordable for a B2B type environment. And so we developed the course around that structure, knowing that our client needed those things. If we had developed a 1-week long program that had to be live, that would have interfered and interrupted with their production schedule, we would have sold nothing, right? So you just kind of have to think about it. Do I provide the enough information? Do I do it in a way that they want? Is it digestible? Is it in the right size? And then the price point becomes a whole separate topic. I'm actually writing a book on that now called Course Pricing Strategies, because pricing is the single most subjective topic in all of this. it's a lot less controlled than it is in the book industry.
Yeah, because I know you have your chapter on the course marketing, which you go over a little bit, like discount coupons and some other different things. But yeah, to your point, when I used to teach in the classroom, like there were a whole bunch of other teachers that taught science, but I was very lively and animated and kids really liked that. You need to be a good, that's the whole part of being a good teacher, right? Is like getting there and presenting it in a format that people are going to understand. And so that's so super important.
Right.
But Lucas, this has been a blast having you on and coming in and talking about doing an online course that goes with your book. And I am definitely, I've got a copy of your book and I am definitely going to be using it because I want to be doing, making some online courses this summer. So if someone is listening to this, and I'm sure there's going to be people who are going to want to reach out to you, contact you, how do people get a hold of you online?
Yeah. So easiest ways is through email, lucas@merinotraining.com. And that's my website as well, merinotraining.com. So you can check me out there. I'm on YouTube, I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and all the different places, but email is probably the most direct way to contact me.
Okay, great. And I will put those in the show notes for if you're listening, just scroll below the album, the show notes album cover, and you'll see them in there. Lucas, this has been fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on today to your writer coach and explaining your process of online book. And make sure you get out there to buy the book if you're listening to this.
Thanks, Lynn.
Hey, my friend, thanks for joining me on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I hope this episode has equipped you with actionable strategies for your publishing journey. Remember, your expertise becomes truly valuable when it's transformed into a professionally published book that represents your unique brand. The insights we've covered today will hopefully give you another piece of your publishing blueprint. If you found today's discussion valuable, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you get the next episode dropped right into your podcast player. Each week, we tackle another essential aspect designed specifically for busy professionals like you. Remember to start the dream of writing your book today because your strategies could be the missing piece in someone else's success puzzle tomorrow.
The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guest, and any affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional legal or financial advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guest are of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guest, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or action taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests for any liability.